Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today and become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Welcome to Cross Body of Work. My name is Evan.
I'm Javier.
And this week we are looking at the career of one Christopher Hero.
Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno,
Indie
Chris
Legend.
I don't know his actual name.
Spalding? I think this is the last name.
Something like that. Some with an S.
Spladden?
Something weird. I don't know. Chris Hero is the man, though. I love Chris Hero because Chris Hero is the most indie wrestler looking wrestler ever, except he's actually tall and athletic.
Chris Spradlin is the name.
Spradlin,
but Hero,
a last name I've never heard of.
And yeah, Chris Hero is somebody that I'm only really familiar with through being Cassius Ohno, which by all accounts is not the best way to know Chris Hero, because he did a lot more other impressive things on the indie scene. It's a lot more pertinent to see his work on the indies in Ring of Honor, in PWG.
It's honestly night and day.
Yeah. And one thing I like about Chris Hero is he's a wrestling fan who happens to also be a wrestler.
Yeah.
And you hear a lot about people who were fans growing up and like, oh yeah, like I watched this person growing up. You know, you hear about like certain wrestlers idolizing Eddie Guerrero or Stone Cold or whatever. It's like Chris Hero's like, I watched everyone excessively. I studied them and I stole their moves. And it's such
a
perfect gimmick.
I have more Psycho Sid action figures than anyone this side of America.
That's alarming. That's a call for help.
Yeah. I mean, he really is a part of just that like golden age of wrestlers who came along in the early 2000s who were just super fans.
Yep.
And like genuinely obsessed with the wrestling. I mean, him, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, you know, just guys like that who were genuinely like just so passionate and obsessed that they just became the best wrestlers in the world, even though they weren't even a part of any major promotions.
And they just took their fandom and turned it into just knowledge of the business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno is called the encyclopedia of pro wrestling, and honestly, like he really is. I mean, the thing that I will always remember Chris Hero for, long after his career is over, which it isn't. It's still very much active. We just haven't seen him because, you know, pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the fact that the guy can work any style.
Yes.
Any style of wrestling. You know, it could just be regular WWE style, boring. It could be, you know, chain wrestling city. It could be, you know, British strong style. It could be Japanese strong style. It could be Japanese technical style. It could be Lucha Libre. It could literally be any style. The guy is fluent in all of it because he's been everywhere. He has learned everything. And it's honestly insane to see not only just a guy his size be able to do some of the things he does, but, you know, someone as, you know, when he started off, he was so young, but he was so gifted.
Like such a baby in our first match.
The first match we have here, he's 22 years old.
Jesus.
And it's insane because, spoiler alert, he's going 90 fucking minutes. And rather,
yeah, we're going to talk about Javier putting a 90-minute episode on the agenda. For those of us who tried to do other things this week and then spent 90 minutes watching one match.
It's only an hour and a half. You know, 90 minutes sounds so long when you think about it. But like when you just think like, oh, it's an hour and a half.
It's two episodes of a Netflix show.
Okay, well, like, you know, You get paid for the podcast. You don't get paid to Netflix. You pay for it.
Oh, I want to get paid for Netflix so friggin' bad. Are you kidding me? I watch that all the time. All right, let's go through all the housekeeping things. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CrossBodyOfWork. If you have ideas for who we should cover, email us, crossbodyworkpod@gmail.com. Merch table is open, fullpressshop.com. Check it out. Buy the shirt. Support the boys. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, just throw a little 5-star review wherever you're listening. Apple Podcasts, you know, anywhere where you can rate us, just give us 5 stars.
Google Play, whatever that is.
Google Play, whatever that actually is. You know, just support the boys. It'll be greatly appreciated. It helps the podcast grow. We're trying to reach as many ears as possible with our nonsense. So, you know, support the boys. We're doing all right.
Speaking of nonsense, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't heard the Harlem Heat one, go do yourself a favor. Go back and listen to it. Because honestly, that might be the best podcast episode we've ever done.
It is the weirdest episode we've ever recorded, and it's very fun. Go listen to the Harlem Heat episode. Now, let's talk about our first match. Also, normally we cover 5 matches. This episode we're doing 4 because, like I mentioned, Javier put a 90-minute match on the docket. And you know what? It was worth it. It was worth the 90 minutes.
Yeah. That's what I'm freaking talking about. Like, I was charged with finding Chris Hero matches for this episode because typically when it's someone outside of the U.S. or somebody who's more famous for their indie scene than they are their more mainstream stuff, it teaches me to ask to get tasked for it because, yeah.
You actually know what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what's going on. Like, I was a big fan of Chris Hero when he was with Ring of Honor. I obviously went back and watched a lot of his PWG stuff. I knew that incarnation of Chris Hero, and going back and watching like the even earlier stuff from the early 2000s, it's kind of it's so different because the guy has just grown so much from his IWA days to CZW, that whole takeover that happened there, the Revolution, the feud with Bryan Danielson, all that stuff to then, there's been so many phases of Chris Hero.
Yeah.
So going back, I wanted to, I didn't even know about this match, to be honest. So I just went, looked on the interwebs, found that this was a 5-star match.
And from Big Dave?
It was a 5-star match. I don't know if it's from Big Dave, but everyone was saying it was a 5-star match.
Somebody else named Dave?
It might actually be from Dave, but it's a 5-star match. So I was like, yeah, screw it. Fuck it.
Throw it in there.
Here's the rest of the story. I found the match. I click on it, and it says 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Because they have a lot of the preamble. They also have some stuff after the bell, but it is a 90. I think it's like a 92-minute match.
And that's when I realized this match is 1.5 hours.
Yep. It's a lot. So I'd heard that, so the match itself is Chris Hero versus some guy named CM Punk who would never be heard from again.
Yeah, who is that dude?
No idea. And it's literally from a show called When Hero Met Punk. Very When Harry Met Sally vibes. From 2003. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. And I heard of this match. And I think I heard of this match through learning about Punk's career. As he once went 90 minutes with Chris Hero. And I was like, that's weird. Don't know who that guy is. And now I know who Chris Hero is. And it's like, oh, I can kind of put 2 and 2 together. This is the match we were talking about. It takes place in IWA Mid-South, which is an NWA territory, I believe. I'm pretty sure a lot of these small things are...
Yeah, IWA Mid-South is... I think it's like Indiana.
Yeah. And, the match, the opening... So Chris Hero, like we said, he's 22 years old. Looks like a baby who happens to be able to do flips. So that's cool. And CM Punk looks like, not quite the Punk we know now. Not even the Punk we knew in WWE.
We have covered this version of Punk, though.
Yes,
the triple threat match for the Eddie Guerrero episode.
Way back when.
Way back in the day.
And this is Punk with long hair. He doesn't have all the tattoos, but he's got the Pepsi one.
He's got the gym shorts.
He's got the gym shorts on. And Chris Hero is in some of the baggiest mid-2000 pants and a sleeveless superhero tee. Superman tee.
So one of my first notes here was these two look like the most indie wrestlers.
Yeah, they're really living the gimmick right here.
They, this is when you imagine what an indie wrestler looks like a proper indie wrestler, not like someone at Evolve or something like that.
Yeah.
You think of someone in like this, like it's not real looking gear. It's kind of just like cargo pants or gym shorts and like a ripped up t-shirt and stuff like that. Like that's what these guys are doing, except Punk's look is like, when I think of CM Punk, I think of this version of him.
It still looks good. Hero's look needs some work.
Hero genuinely looks like my roommate. I'm not even just kidding. Like, Bruce, if you're listening to this podcast for some reason, like, Chris Hero looks like you. Like, super tall. My roommate. I'm not even kidding. My old roommate in college, like, genuinely 6'4", long-ass hair, same exact color as Hero, and when he shaves, like same exact facial hair structure
as Chris
Hero. And he's a white guy. So like same exact look. He's bigger cuz he's fucking thick as shit cuz Russian. But like, you know,
my old roommate is also 6'4" and named Evan, which is unfortunate cuz there were two Evans in the room and I am not 6'4". And I remember we were roommates.
You're 4'6".
I am 5'6" for the record. And I remember when I was moving in, I was like, I hadn't met him yet. He had no pictures online or anything. I didn't know him. I was like, I really hope he's not tall because then I'm going to be small, Evan. I don't want that. And then if he walks in the room and he's 6'4", I'm like, oh, fuck. It's happening. It's happening. And then luckily, to differentiate us, he got called Easy or Big Easy because he's a really, really relaxed, really chill guy. And I just went by Gomes. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, this is my saving grace.
Lil Ev.
Lil Ev. Out in the streets. CM Punk, on his entrance, he talks to an old lady at ringside for a while, and it's very funny. She just looks like a very nice grandma.
I love that he just goes, this is going to last a while.
There are like 91 people here.
There are less than 91.
There was a minute of wrestling for every person in attendance.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think there are probably like legitimately 40 people in this crowd.
So like this amount of work for that few people in the audience shows how much these two love wrestling.
I mean, the big part of these kind of indie federations was more the tape thing. Like, yeah. People, they knew the niche audiences of tape traders and stuff like that would buy this stuff, and they could sell it at a decent cost. Like, hell, if I were my age now then, I would definitely be one of those people that are buying this stuff, you know?
Yeah, like, we are well past the age of tape trading, you and I. We were never in that.
I mean, we have Daily Motion nowadays.
It's true. We can just rip everything. We're going to get to it when we talk about the next match. We can get some things from some very obscure sites. I do not know where you found that next match.
The second Google page.
There's a second Google page? It's amazing.
So you know how you could do there's the original, there's the first stuff, and then there's a extend, so there's like the more?
Yeah, it's on the more.
No, you keep going down, and you'll get to the options that give you to a second Google page.
Alarming. So, you know, the handshake to start, these two are wrestling, and they chirp WWE relatively early in the match because they talk about how IWA gets more wrestling in, like, a show than you get in Raw or SmackDown in 2 weeks. And I was like, ooh, throwing barbs at the big boys.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go down through the whole match because, oh, my God, we'd be here.
Why not?
Because we'd be here forever. But we'll talk about, like, the main points and the beginning of the match. I'd say the first half hour is a lot of like, look at all these holds we know.
I'm not even kidding when I say it's literally just like a recycle of the same holds over and over again. So like, hey, cravat hold, head scissors lock, arm lock, hammer lock, straight jacket hold, like headlock, straight jacket hold, leg lock, Muda lock. Like, there's so many different like type of locks, and I don't know how many times I can hear Chris Hero just like moan over and over again, but it's like
a lot. I wrote
it's a lot.
At one point I said there's like a 5-minute Greco-Roman knuckle lock, which is a test of strength. That's what they kept calling it on commentary, and I wrote was, this is Javier's dream. They're just trading pins in a Greco-Roman knuckle lock. Like, he booked this.
Okay, but like at one point I wrote down like there's been more headlocks than pin attempts.
Yes, and I will say things pick up significantly about 30, 40 minutes in, and then they like level up again in the last like 20 minutes of the match.
Yeah, I mean, the mat wrestling's good. I do have a couple of notes from the early on. So it's like there's a leg lock that Punk puts on. And then it's like Hero does something that I've like never seen before, which is he like puts his other leg, the free one, up against Punk's head, and I'm just like smacks him his knee so that it drives the leg right into Punk's head, which is how he's able to break out. And I was like, that is like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I wonder which tape he had to trade to learn that one.
There was an Adam Pearce mention on commentary.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
The Adam Pearce.
The Adam Pearce. Yes,
that one. Because you know he was an indie guy around this time period. Chris Hero, you could just tell, like, the guy's 22 at the time, commentary says later on in the match. And you just sell. He's like such a student of it all. Because like he's doing shit here that's like, he's really just taking from a lot of different people. Because there's like a British grappling element to the style that he's doing. But there's also like a Japanese style to it where he is trying to be stiff because he knows he's the big guy. But there's also kind of like a, there's a big guy, little guy element to a certain point. But Punk is kind of like the, you know, the little guy who's also like the big man on campus because of the status of the company. Yeah. So he's not really playing the little guy role.
Yeah, not in the way that we typically see it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like what AJ Styles would do when he was the champion. Where, like, even if he was up against, like, a Randy Orton, who's clearly taller than him, or, like, a Baron Corbin or whoever, you know, like, he wouldn't really play the little guy role because he's so talented. It's kind of like a, like, his match with Brock. Like, he wasn't really, like, he was the little guy.
He's fighting from, like, underneath, in a sense, in terms of size, but he wasn't backing away.
Yeah, he's not getting fucking ricocheted.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ricochet. 30-ish minutes in. So we're about a third of the way through the 90-minute time limit. And one of the commentary guys says, this is going to go a long, long fucking time. And I'm like, you are right, commentary guy. Also, didn't know you could curse on commentary. Very cool.
Indie wrestling, baby.
Indie wrestling doesn't give a shit.
There was a really fun spot after the 30-minute mark where so Hiro tries to do a belly to black suplex, but Punk lands on his feet and then just stomps the fuck out of Chris Hero's head. Like, just stomps it. I don't know how that, like, that, there's no way he worked that. There just isn't. That was a stomp and a half. And then 40 minutes. I also marked all the 10-minute intervals.
Yeah.
Love that for myself. After the 40-minute mark, Punk starts, like, messing up. I don't know what happened, but, like, Hero messed up his left hand. And then he showed the camera, but, like, it's a really grainy video.
It's like, something's wrong with his fingers.
So, like, I knew something was wrong with his finger because, like, he had, like, one finger extended out. I think it was, like, his ring finger extended out more than the others. But, like, I couldn't see what the hell was going on because, you know, it's, like, 2004 probably.
Yeah,
I don't
know what it's filmed on, like, a Nokia phone.
Yeah, this is literally, like, it's less quality than a GoPro. Like, and that's kind of, like,
those Game Boy cameras.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
But that really, like, extends the story of the match a little bit, because for the next like 10-20 minutes Punk is really just working over that hand. You know, he wants to put on the test of strength thing, the Greco-Roman whatever hand lock, but Hero's like, fuck that. So when Punk reaches for, you know, to get the injured hand, Hero gives him his opposite hand and then puts Punk in like a straight jacket hold, which is pretty cool. And then at one point he like drops him with the straight jacket hold and like lifts his knees up, so Punk's like elevated up off the ground, and it's like it's kind of like a stretch, so like he's got the straight jacket hold on, so Punk is like getting choked out from above, but underneath the motherfucker's getting his back stretched out like a motherfucker in the most uncomfortable looking way. Like, I don't know how they managed to hold it, because they held it for like a minute and a half maybe, and I could just tell by the end of it, like, Punk is just not having a great time right now.
So at about 50 minutes in, is the first time we leave the ring. So up until so for 50 minutes they're mat wrestling, and like at like you said, around like 40 minutes things start to pick up. There's a little bit more action, maybe a couple slams, right? There's like
couple
a spinning
strikes.
There's a spinning back fist by Punk that was pretty mean, but around 50 minutes there's a dive by Hero, and it's the first time we've been outside all match. And they don't stay outside for long, but it is pretty brutal weather out there. It's a couple slams. And then they get in the ring, and we're right near our first fall.
Oh, my God. Is this where the Jackie Chan happens?
Go ahead.
Oh, so, right. So there's, like, they're fighting in the corner. Punk is down in the corner. And Hero does that thing. So Punk is grabbing onto the, I don't know if it's the middle or the top turnbuckle, but he's down. And then Hero, like, lifts him up by the leg, so he, like, throws him up in the air, and Punk does the fucking Jackie Chan. So, the Jackie Chan is, if anybody's seen Rush Hour,
oh yeah,
specifically the second one, Jackie Chan does this all the time. Like, he just gets up from a position, and he does, like, a flip and lands on his feet. It's the coolest thing in the world, and when Punk did it, I, like, rewound it, like, three times, because I fucking love that. Like, I'm being so serious, I have already booted up Rush Hour 2, and I will be watching it
later
tonight.
I love Rush Hour so much.
Those three movies are a fucking masterpiece.
What is trilogy. The greatest?
It's the second greatest trilogy of all time behind Lord of the Rings. It just is.
Fair. I mean,
like,
it is probably number
one.
I would probably put Back to the Future ahead of Rush Hour.
No, because I don't like Back to the Future 3. I just don't.
That's fair. It's not for everybody.
Like, it's just bad. Anyways, so yeah, he does that, and then he hits like a wheelbarrow bulldog, and it's a near fall, but that was the first moment of the match where I was kind of like, okay.
Drawn in, yeah. And then we get the first fall, which is a double underhook backbreaker, and then there's a Shining Wizard attempt by Punk, and Hero ducks. But then Punk
just... He grabs his leg.
And then Punk just turns and clocks him in the head with a kick.
Yeah, it's kind of like... Anderson Silva would do this sometimes, but it would obviously like be like a higher up. So it's like you miss the kick, but then you like come back and you hit him with like the heel.
Yeah.
Kind of. That's what Punk did. It got the first fall, and honestly, it shocked me because I was like...
It didn't look like something to get a fall.
Yeah, it's not that crazy of a kick. But also, you got to think about it. Like, they've been playing this. Like, it's been a fucking hour at this point. Like, I feel like I could breathe on you, and I would probably get a fall.
So then they, you know, they keep wrestling. Crossbody gets caught by Hero. And then they get a swinging Hero Sandwich. Great name for a move. Hero Sandwich. Love it.
Oh.
But Punk gets his foot on the ropes, which is a big near fall. It kind of suckered everybody in the stands. All 90 people got suckered in. They keep talking, so commentary keeps talking about how they're putting bets and how they've been asking all the other IWA South people how long this match is going to go and who's going to win. They're like, oh, you know, Jimmy Havoc is going to be 60 minutes and Adam Pearce is going to be 62 and so-and-so thing is going to be 70.
Alex Shelley says it's going to be 91.
I never understood the concept of betting on wrestling. I don't get it. Spoiler alert for everybody. It's predetermined.
I get it if it's not like I'm not going to Vegas and betting on wrestling. But if it's just like you and your buddies are watching WrestleMania and you're just like, hey, let's put the fun little bet. Let's see how long this match goes, you know?
But like, what's stopping Vince from being
fucking Vince McMahon is not in the room with you?
No, I'm saying like, cause there is the ability to bet on wrestling on sites. What's stopping Vince is being like, I know that I put Edge to win the Rumble, so I'm going to put a bunch of money on Edge to win the Rumble. And then I get more money.
For starters, it's illegal. But also, if you're doing it...
Vince gives a fuck about things being illegal?
No, but like it is. But also, like, I also don't see Vince McMahon as the type of person to gamble.
Or to
like,
use technology, like now that too, I think about it.
I feel like he thinks it's too feminine or something. Like, take
risks. He's got some weird thing about it. Yeah.
And... Like, I don't get the betting on wrestling because, like, usually, like, a couple days before the event even happens, like, there's, like, a massive jump on the person that's actually going to win. Like, that's what happened with Zack Ryder when he won the IC title. Like, a day or two beforehand, his thing, like, he just became, like, the overwhelming favorite, and that kind of, like, tipped people off over, you know, the fact that Zack Ryder was going to win. Because usually the person that ends up being the favorite at the end is
the one who wins.
That wins because people got the scoop.
The wrestle votes got the scoop.
Or they just ask any of the wrestlers who are in the know.
Who's going to win?
Maybe $5.
We got a three-arm race spot, and I love it. Because I love my three-arm race spots after watching all those Rock matches, because that man fucking loved that spot.
This is a really good one, though.
Yeah. First arm down, second one down. On third one, Punk instead lifts his... Like, he does hold the arm up, but he puts his other hand up and just
he drops the arm.
Oh, I thought he just wagged his finger.
He dropped it, but yeah, he lifted the other one and wagged his finger.
No, I'm okay.
So what he dropped, it actually got me, because like, he dropped the arm, and I was like, oh shit, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Or that's how the second fall, or the first fall for Hero goes. And then I see him wag his finger with the other hand, and I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah,
but
so
it's really cool, because
it's not the second fall.
So Hero has his finisher submission. He has like a million finishers. But he has one that's called the Hangman's Clutch, which has been pretty consistent throughout his career. And he kind of has like this modified version of it on. And that's what's forcing Punk to have the go of it. And then so prior to that, he hit like a flipping neck breaker, which looked cool. I wanted to call it a blockbuster, but it's not a blockbuster. it just like so it's weird. It's not, it doesn't actually have a name. And then he hits the hero's welcome, which is just a crossroads or yeah. you know, whatever the reckoning or whatever it is now for Damian Priest. Yeah. And yeah, he hits that for a near fall, which is like crazy because like that's his one of his finishers. I think they were like making it like it's his like real thing, finisher. Yeah. And then a little bit down the line, Punk hits a flying Hurricanrana off the apron. He hits a suicide dive form type deal, which is pretty cool. And then he just like lands perfectly on like the elementary school chairs that they have set up for the audience.
Yeah, like they're the ones you used in grade school. The little tiny blue ones. Yeah.
I didn't have those in high school or middle school. I had them in elementary school, though.
I can still fit in them.
And then comes the first fall for Chris Hero, 68 minutes in. He gets Punk to the top rope, and then he gets one arm hooked. He gets the other arm hooked. Then he hits a fucking Pepsi plunge, CM Punk's finisher. It's a pedigree off the top rope. You don't kick out of the Pepsi plunge. No. So, not even if you're CM Punk. Once he
connected, I'm like, that's a three count. That has to be.
And it is. And it is. Because Chris Hero ties it up 1-1.
One of my favorite moments after that is a slap fight during a submission hold. I don't remember what the hold was, some sort of leg lock, and they just slap each other. Because at this point in the match, it's like, just stay down. I'm tired.
Really? Like, we've already gone past the hour we usually go. Please.
Yeah, and then... there's one point where Punk steals the hero's welcome to get a two, and then Hero returns favor with a hero's welcome and also gets a two. And then we're getting close to the 90 minute.
No. So that's actually, so Hero hits two of them.
Right. He hits back to back. Yeah.
He hits back to back and Punk kicks out. And then Punk hits, I think, back to back as well of the hero's welcome. And then Hero kicks out of it. So it's kind of like a one upmanship. And this is when it's like, all right, well, fuck off.
Yeah, we're getting close to the 90 minutes, and things are getting intense. They trade shots. They're just, like, teeing off on one another. And then we get the setup for what is the false finish of all false finishes in this match.
Oh, my God. Was it the cradle suplex?
No. It's the double fall that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The cradle suplex is also really good. But the double fall, I believe it's Hero is on the top rope with Punk. And Hero has his back to the ring and hits a power bomb into the ring, reverse sit out power bomb. And they land on each other with one arm on each other's chest, and they both get pinned.
Okay, I love the camera angle for this.
It was really good.
It's so obvious that Hero gets his arm draped over first, and then you just see like the camera like cuts, and sneakily you see Punk like get his hand like right before the ref starts counting. Gets his arm draped over Hero, and then the ref is just like, oh, fuck, what do I do? Well, counting twice. And yeah. I love that. I love when refs count with both hands because it looks so ridiculous.
Nah. It looks like they're just like having a tantrum. It's so dumb.
Like they're fucking Donkey Kong.
So obviously we have to go into overtime because it was tied at 2-2.
Alex Shelley is trembling because he might be right.
And we get to the ending pretty quick. I'll let you get into the ending sequence.
Yeah, so right off the jump, Punk hits a Shining Wizard for a near fall. He hits a Dragon Screw, and he starts working the knee. And like for a little bit, he's really just working up the knee. And then from out of nowhere almost, Hero gets the Hangman Clutch in, which is his finisher. And he's got it in for a while. So the Hangman Clutch is fun because it's like he wraps up the leg like it's kind of like an STF,
yeah,
but then he twists himself and he puts a cravat hold, so it's kind of like an STF, but you put a cravat instead. And then he just has it locked in. He starts wrenching on it. Punk looks like he's dying.
Yeah, Punk looks uncomfortable.
And then he's just like, oh, fuck this, taps out. And Chris Hero finally is able to avenge his losses, because it's been plenty, against CM Punk.
And he wins the IWA Mid-South Championship.
Yeah, these guys had a pretty extensive feud against each other. Admittedly, I feel like a lot of these indie feds would just like rotate the same amount of people over and over again.
Yeah.
But they were talking about how Hero only has, prior to this, he'd only been able to pin Punk twice. And Punk has probably beaten him about like 15 times.
So it's similar to that long running storyline in ECW where Raven always got the better of Tommy Dreamer.
Until.
Let's take our first commercial break after that long, long match. When we get back, we're looking at some PWG and some Ring of Honor. Back from the break, looking at PWG Guerre Sans Frontières 2009. Some random ass show.
Thank God you pronounced it, because I definitely wasn't going to. Yeah,
French school.
So you say it's some random ass show. It is Daniel Bryan's last PWG show.
I meant random ass name for a show. Like, what? PWG all of a sudden throwing names out there in French. And I know indie shows have funny names, but like, threw me off. I was like, why?
I don't even know what it means. Do you know what that means?
Something without borders. Oh, probably Gorillas Without Borders.
Okay, well, there you go.
So it's the PWG Championship, and it is Chris Hero defending the title against Bryan Danielson. At the time, Hero had the longest PWG Championship reign of all time at 425 days. Pop quiz to Javier. Who has surpassed him in terms of singular reigns? There are five different people.
Five different people. Is Kevin Owens one of them?
No.
Okay. Adam Cole.
Yep. 538 days, longest ever.
Yeah, I know that one. Marty Scurll?
Nope.
No. Have they all been after this?
Yes.
Okay. So Adam Cole's one. Ricochet? Yep.
Nope.
Ooh. Are any of them with AEW and or WWE?
One is with WWE. And
one is with WWE. NXT?
Yes.
Kyle O'Reilly?
Wrong member.
Bobby Fish?
Wrong member.
Roddy.
Roddy. Roddy had, okay. had it for 449 days. And then I don't think any of these guys are even with AEW either. One had some appearances for AEW.
Jeff Cobb?
Yes, 425 days as well. The other two are Zack Sabre Jr. and the current champion. The current champion is Bandido.
I knew Zack Sabre Jr. was going to be one of them. Yeah. Bandito is a count, right? There's a the first one, they haven't had a show in like 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. You, like I said earlier, you fucking dug deep for this one on the interwebs. It is on some random site. It is in a language that I am not sure what language it is.
It is in Japanese, I think. It's called Billy Bee.
Yeah. I didn't click on anything but play because I didn't want anything on my... I didn't know
what you wouldn't have gotten a virus. It is a legit website.
I was just so confused because it did not translate.
It legitimately is a legit website. I've looked onto there.
There's a pop-up that came up, and I was like, X?
They honestly have like a lot of good old professional wrestling.
That's
on
good.
There
I might have
like
to keep
stuff.
Using it. Yeah. Also of note, Joey Ryan is on commentary. Fuck that guy.
I thought it was Matt Jackson.
No, they say Joey Ryan at the beginning. So fuck.
Yeah, no. That's when I realized it wasn't Matt Jackson. But when I first heard him talk, I thought it was Matt Jackson because it sounds just like Matt Jackson.
I still could not tell you what Matt or Nick sound like.
I hope you can tell me which one's Matt and which one's Nick, though.
It's
Nick
a 50-50 shot.
Sounds, all right, so Matt sounds exactly how Joey Ryan sounds here.
Okay.
Whereas Nick kind of sounds like a bro, like a surfer bro.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just what he sounds like.
So like you said, this is Bryan Danielson's last match before joining the WWE.
Yeah, he's already signed the contract. He's good to go. This is just one of his last obligations prior to his departure.
I love this match. Looks like it takes place in a Shriners Hall with like wood paneling
around
the walls. Yeah,
that's Reseda. Yeah. I fucking miss that. I'm going to miss that so much. So PWG lost that place because I guess it got torn down or something, yeah. Like the whole building. It will never be the same. PWG is never going to be the same because like is the aura. It's like if... Not if NXT left for us. It would be like if ECW stopped using Hammerstein.
Yeah.
You know, like it wouldn't be the same.
It makes it sad. I know that this match is, as much as I talked about like jokingly how last match is directly up your alley, this match is like your jam.
Yeah, this is why I picked it.
Chris Hero, Bryan Danielson, this is everything you've ever wanted.
Crowd is going nuts.
Crowd's
getting
crazy
involved
the whole time, and it's a ton of technical work to start the match, including a lot of flips by Bryan Danielson. He just keeps flipping.
Yeah, this is the version of Bryan Danielson / Daniel Bryan that I want to see like always, and it's possible in the WWE because you know there's plenty of people who can go hold for hold with him nowadays.
and who know this style enough to do it.
Yeah, we're just not going to see it in, though. Yeah. It's the terrible part about it. Like, you can't just... You're telling me he can't have this exact match against Cesaro?
He totally like, can.
He can. So just give it to me. Just give it to me, man.
He absolutely
whatever. He's probably going to main event WrestleMania this year, so it's whatever.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I don't know if you have any spots really early on in the match you want to talk about, because I want to talk about a funny moment involving a submission, but I don't want to.
Yeah, so they start
it.
Off early. They're just trading holds, and then my favorite thing is someone in the crowd just yells out, "Punch him in the ear, Brian!"
Yeah, what was all that about?
So Daniel Bryan is all about like making wrestling realistic, and if you punch someone in the ear, throws off their equilibrium. So he kind of got famous, especially in PWG, for just punching people in the ear to like get them all delirious, and then they'd have to sell that. But instead, Hero gets pissed off about it because he knows it's coming, because it happens in almost every Bryan Danielson match that he has in PWG. So he fucking punches him in the ear.
Yeah, strike first.
Yeah, so clearly Chris Hero was a Cobra Kai and not a Miyagi Dome.
Chris Hero always listening, always learning, even from the fans.
And then he just starts rocking Daniel Bryan with elbows after that. But more than anything, go ahead. You had something you wanted to say.
Oh, my God. The submission where they're stuck. I don't even know what submission that they're in, but they're in a submission, and they're stuck together. And Bryan is like, yeah, we're stuck, and keeps saying that to referee Rick Knox. And he's like, you got to roll us to the side. And so Rick Knox has to push them both over on their side. It's the only way that Bryan can get his leg free. I was like, I don't know if that was real, that they were stuck or not, but I hope they were, because that was funny as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is reminiscent of, I forget who it was that did it, but it was against Tyson Kidd, and they like put themselves in a ball, and Tyson Kidd couldn't do
anything.
Was it Neville?
I'm 95% sure that it was Neville, who just kept
he couldn't like
around.
Pin him. He
couldn't
do anything
down.
About
yeah.
it. He was just getting pissed off. I love it when wrestlers do silly shit like that. Like wrestling, yeah, it's supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to be like, you know, a battle of athleticism, yeah. But like. Part of it is entertainment, and that's fucking entertaining.
And then right after this is when Bryan Danielson starts to pump up, because Chris Hero was kind of in control for quite a while starting out, and he just gets cut off with a huge boot.
Oh, the Claymore.
He essentially hits a Claymore. Hero with like playing the strongman role, because again it works against Bryan, because Bryan is a smaller dude.
Yeah, Brian's like your height. Chris Hero is 6'4".
And then Hero hits a move that I'm like, where would you even think to learn that? He has Bryan down, and he's in the corner, and then he rolls backwards to, like, handspring up and do an elbow drop. And I was like,
yeah.
Where are you pulling these out of, Chris? What tape did
Lacey
you steal
Evans
that
does that.
But Lacey Evans stole that from Chris Hero, who stole it from somebody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. I genuinely don't know where he would have gotten that from. It feels like kind of like a gymnastic thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, not the elbow drop. They don't elbow drop
floor routine. And he was like, I could take that.
And yeah, he was just watching some random floor routine. Like, can you imagine if Chris Hero was just like, just takes his niece to her gymnastic like competition or whatever, and then just like sees her do some shit like that? He's like, I'm going to do an elbow
notes.
Drop. I'm adding an elbow drop to that.
I could do that. I think I can do that.
Just 6'4", Chris Hero.
Oh, man.
That's great. Yeah, you know, he hits that Claymore, it really stops the momentum. Bryan fired up about 14 different times before he actually fired up.
Yeah.
And when he did, he fires up, and then he punches Chris Hero in the air.
Finally connects.
That's my favorite thing about Bryan Danielson from his indie run, was if he was going to do something, it didn't matter if he had to wait fucking 20 minutes, he was going to bring it back full circle. He just was. And then he starts, so my one of my favorite parts of the match is when he starts setting up for the Romero special, and he just starts like grabbing at Hero's nose and dragging it up so he can get the positioning and the hold in. But Hero is just not having it. So instead, what he does is he's just like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to like smash your fucking knees into the goddamn mat.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Then we get the work to the outside, where Daniel Bryan does a diving knee off the apron into the stands. Then tries
Hero was doing just way too much because he missed on that like backflip over the rope.
And then there was a diving nothing off the top, and Hero just clocks Brian.
He did not. That is not a diving nothing.
What was
my
he
man
doing?
My man did the diving nothing, and then Hero fucking clocked him with a chair.
Oh no! So we're thinking two different things. So first there's a diving nothing where he gets clocked, and then after was the baseball slide after Hero did the backflip and was doing too much. And he does the diving nothing and gets destroyed with a chair. And that's when Brian gets a huge gash on his forehead.
Yes, which you could tell was hard way.
And also, weirdly enough, by the end of the match, he stopped bleeding from it. Like,
yeah.
It's weird because he bled a lot from it for like 10 minutes.
So,
and then he just kind of stopped.
Here's the thing, though, is I feel like it was one of those gashes. You ever had a gash where once it opens up, like it's kind of like a blood rush, but then it just like
and then
slows
it just stops.
Eventually.
Yeah, it's the opposite of cutting yourself shaving. Because when you cut yourself shaving, that thing bleeds forever.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those situations because you notice a lot of the blood early on, but then as it starts, well, you know, as soon as he wipes it away, you don't really see it anymore. Yeah. So I feel like it was just like the initial point because he's out of the ring for a while.
Yeah. He is out there for a while, and Rick Knox is trying to figure out like, and also like, my favorite is he's. And he's trying to get back in the ring. There are fans who are like arguing or like bargaining with Rick Knox to stop counting. They're like, no, not like this. There's a guy right at the ringside who's like waving at him, like, no, don't do it, Rick.
Like, this is his last match. Yeah. We are not
do you
doing
understand?
This.
Then Brian gets back in the ring and he's pissed off.
Oh, but it doesn't matter because he gets put in a tree of woe and he gets
everywhere.
Murdered.
Yeah.
He gets absolutely murdered.
I like when Brian locks in cattle mutilation. What a great name for a submission.
That is probably my favorite part of the Daniel Bryan book. So I have the audio book, and I listen to it every once in a while. I don't know why. I listen to it like twice a year. But he originally, he like saw it in like a tape thing or whatever, and he started calling it his arm chicken wing thing. Like, you would just call it his arm chicken wing thing.
Yeah.
And then someone told him, like, in the back when they were setting up a match, like, yeah, and I want you to do cattle mutilation. And he was like, what? He's like, yeah, the move's called cattle mutilation. And he was just like, oh, okay. Like, he was so, like, disheartened to find out that
well,
it wasn't called what he called it.
pure-hearted vegan Daniel.
Yeah, he was like, cattle mutilation. But it's a badass name. It really still is.
So then after that, you know, Brian's laying the elbow into him. We get a top rope drop kick from Brian and then a fuckload of kicks because Brian Danielson loves kicking people. It's his favorite thing.
Really does.
Hero then hits him with a spinning elbow and a second one, and holy shit, those spinning elbows.
Yeah, I mean, before that, though, before the spinning elbows and all that stuff, he right after the cattle mutilation, and then he goes into the Fury of Elbows. He like starts smacking Hero around. He goes, you want to be the champ? Smack. You want to be the best in the world? Smack. And then just gets hit with a rolling elbow. That is just vicious.
Those elbows are nasty. Then we kind of get into the finish.
Yeah, he does the kicks, the like yes kicks, as we see
as
them.
We know them now,
Yeah, but Hero is standing up there in time. So he catches one of them, hits a rolling elbow, and then instead of just going for the pin or whatever, he like pauses, sets up, hits another rolling elbow that's even fucking harder than that one for a near fall. And then it's literally, they're literally just trading, going back and forth, just trading no-selling elbows and back body drivers. Like, it's just back and forth. They're just both doing the move and not selling it at all.
And then Danielson hits the running knee.
As
we know it now. Some kicks to the fucking face is the only thing I wrote down. Like, that's what he hit next is just some kicks to the face. Locks in a triangle sleeper, rotates into a chicken wing, and that makes Hero tap.
He gets powerbombed. So he gets powerbombed while he has the triangle on.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, so while he has the triangle on, Hero powerbombs him, a sit-out powerbomb. Brian keeps the hold on. And then, it's like you said, he modified it into some sort of like chicken wing submission.
And Hero has to tap. Hero's in it for like 90 seconds.
Yeah, he's in it for a while.
And the place erupts because, as we said, like this is Danielson's match where he was leaving PWG, he was moving on WWE. So he would forfeit the title because he signed with WWE. But what a great way for him to go out as a champion.
And what a weird way for Hero's title right now. And like you said, he was champion for 400 plus days and he loses to a guy who's going out the door.
Yeah, very interesting decision. I think shocked a lot of people in attendance, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what PWG was going, what they wanted. They wanted some shock. And Bryan Danielson is a big name and obviously it's his last show. You want him to have that feel good moment. Yeah. Like, can you imagine the people that purchased the DVD off like High Spots or something?
Yeah.
And like they got to see that for the first time without knowing the result and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But how? Let's move on to our third match, and this is where we're looking at tag team and a team that intrigued me because I know of them but I'd never seen them together. Oh. And that is the Kings of Wrestling. So we've got Chris Hero teaming with Claudio Castagnoli. How the hell do you say that?
Claudio Castagnoli.
Castagnoli. There we go.
Yeah,
thank you. I did the French earlier, we're even. And they're teaming up against the Briscoes, Ring of Honor, August 21st, 2010. Great team name, Kings of Wrestling. Accurate for how these two wrestle, because they are just like sponges of knowledge about wrestling.
Yeah, and they are genuinely two of the best in-ring workers in the world. Not only at that time, but I feel like still to this day. I mean,
oh,
Cesaro
sure.
is pound for pound one of the best wrestlers in the entire world now, if not probably the best in-ring worker in the world right now, just because of the way he could do things. I mean, the guy's 6'5". He's pound for pound the strongest man in all of professional wrestling, this side of Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar isn't a man. He's a myth.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar is... Fuck. That is the best way to describe
Brock Lesnar.
Brock
Lesnar is a sentient bulldozer.
Like, Brock Lesnar, I want to meet wrestlers and like, yeah, hey, you know, like I'm a big fan and all that stuff. As a fan, I want to meet wrestlers. Brock Lesnar's the one guy I don't want to meet, and I don't even want to be in the same state as that man.
Best, or like maybe let's go with like nicest wrestler you've ever met.
Nicest wrestler I've ever met. Well, I've only met one.
Oh, well then who's the only wrestler you've ever met?
John Cena.
Were you super young?
Yeah, I was like 7.
Oh, you were probably over the moon.
7, 8 years old. Like it was just as he became the top guy.
Oh man, that's fantastic. Mine is when I was doing my internship for a radio station in Toronto, a sports radio station. Every day you look at like the who's coming in as guests or like if people are in studio or if we're calling them. And I looked and we had an in person guest and it was Tommy Dreamer, and I was like, what? And aside from one of the hosts, I was the only person in the office who was like, do we have Tommy Dreamer coming? And they were like, yeah. I was like, can I sit in on it? And they're like, yeah, you like wrestling? I'm like, I freaking love wrestling. I want to be there for Tommy Dreamer. So I got to be in the
booth. Tommy Dreamer's my hero.
And Tommy Dreamer is gigantic.
Tommy Dreamer's a big dude.
He's like 6'5 and beefy and just like the nicest dude in the world. I was like, hey, I am a gigantic wrestling fan. I watched way too much ECW at way too young of age. I'm a huge fan. He's like, oh man, like always cool to meet fans. Like, it's cool. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm an intern. He's like, oh man, that's awesome. Like super cool. It's just like the nicest dude.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer seems like the nicest human being ever.
He didn't need to take time out of his day to like, you know, chat with the interns. But man, what a cool fucking dude.
Yeah, I mean, Cena, I met for like 5 seconds. I like got a high five. I said hi. He said hi. And then I was like, it was over.
But it was cool. It was the high. It was the high.
I didn't even get a picture because it was like 2005 and digital cameras weren't it was kind of you remember the old like you'd have to like run to CVS to like get the pictures taken out. Like,
yeah.
The disposable cameras. Yeah, those were the ones we had and we didn't have them at the time because it wasn't even a wrestling show. I just like saw John Cena.
Oh, fair. You weren't even prepared.
Yeah, because, you know, Boston.
Boston. So let's talk about this match against the Briscoes. Briscoes in control really early. Kings of Wrestling kind of forced to retreat. Kings of Wrestling also are the heels here.
Yeah, they're
Briscoes
so
the
heels.
Faces. Yeah.
And it's interesting. I also want to note that alongside the Kings of Wrestling is Cerro Del Rey.
Yep, as their associate.
Yes, that's Cerro Del Rey, the head female trainer at the Performance Center.
Yep.
And I don't remember who the other guy is. Hagedorn? I don't know this person.
Shane Hagedorn. I have no idea who he is.
I don't know who he is, so we're just going to gloss over that. But they have two people with them. Fucking two.
There's not a ton that I had to say about the actual match. There were a couple good sentons by the Briscoes.
Early on, yeah, there's not that much to say.
No. And then the sentons were the first thing I noticed. Like, oh, this is really good.
I mean, my thing is, like, these two have had better matches against each other. I just couldn't find it. Yeah, you know, Kings of Wrestling. Like, I was complaining to Evan multiple times. I complained to him beforehand. I complained to him before this podcast recording. I fucking love Kings of Wrestling. I can't find Kings of Wrestling matches.
Because we're not, like we said, we're not going to make you guys get Honor Club.
Yeah, and that's where, like, all of it is.
Yeah.
It's so annoying because they're genuinely one of the best tag teams of this century. Like, I don't even exaggerate when I say that. Like, those two guys were freaking insane. And I can't watch it.
Yeah.
I hate it. But this matchup, I mean, the Briscoes are, like, it's not absurd to say they're the best tag team ROH has ever had. They are, as far as longevity, I mean, they are legitimate brothers, and they're awesome, and they, you know, have both had their time on top. I don't know if Mark's ever won the ROH title, but I know Jay has on multiple occasions. And they're just awesome, and to see this match, like, it was good. It was really good, don't get me wrong. There are better ones, and I hate it.
Yeah, like the big crux of the match is that the Kings of Wrestling have their associates get involved.
Yeah, like, and they're the heels. It's a very much an old school heel versus face.
So
match.
Sarah Del Rey slaps Mark, and the ref sees it. So the ref kicks her out of there, and the crowd loves it. In terms of wrestling things, the things I noted: Claudio with just so many forearms. That man loves throwing forearms.
Yeah, so, like, there were three instances in the match where he throws just the repeated fast-ass forearms on one of the Briscoes. Mark gets put in the torture cycle after Sarah gets thrown out, though, because Claudio does the shit ton of forearms. And then it's really just a lot of tandem offense, tagging back and forth between Hiro and Claudio. And you could just tell at that point, like, they had such great chemistry. Such great chemistry. And this is 2010, like, they're probably hitting the prime of their run, because 2009-10 is really when it started kicking off, and by the beginning of 2011, they had the tryouts, and they were already in WWE, which, motherfuckers, they never paired them together.
Yeah, I don't understand how they never paired them together.
Especially, remember a couple years ago, when Cesaro, like, made a run and save for Hiro, I believe, it might have been an NXT UK thing. Like a dark,
I think it was
whatever, but like still, it's one of those things where even just a one-off, where I think they were attacked by Imperium, or he was attacked by Imperium. Like, you couldn't have given me just them against Imperium, just a one-off, random NXT UK show or like a pay-per-view. You could have a match that way. Even if they lose, doesn't matter. Just give me Kings of Wrestling one more time, please.
It's all we want. So, you know, like I said, the match actual content. Okay.
Claudio hits a UFO.
It's cool.
He does a bunch of elbows. Again, it's really just a lot of back and forth tagging in and out until we get the hot tag from Jay Briscoe.
It is a hot tag.
Yeah.
It was a hot tag. He was doing really
well. It was
a
great tag. I mean, it starts off with the clothesline because all hot tags start off.
That's how it starts. Yep.
He does a couple jams. He does a couple everything. And then he hits a Jay Driller. Which is his finisher, his singles finisher, on Cesaro for near fall, because Hiro at literally like 2.9 came in and broke the pin. And then Mark, you know, the Briscoes are on top for a while, but Mark ends up on the top rope. And I don't know how, but he got messed up. And then Claudio hits a German on Jay. Mark is just being held up on the top rope in like a weird tree of woe kind of position by Chris Hiro over and over again. The ref is distracted at this point, I guess, by Hiro.
And Shane Hagedorn comes in.
Yeah.
And he sneaks in to try to pile drive one of the Briscoes and gets reversed. Instead, he crotch shots. Is that Jay? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jay. He, like, knees him in the nuts.
Yeah, and then the Kings of Wrestling pin him for the win. Disappointing
like
ending.
Later. But it felt like it was so long between the crotch shot and the pin.
Disappointing ending. We know there's more better Kings of Wrestling matches. If you can find one for free, tweet at us. Let us see.
Send it to me. Yeah. I would love to watch it.
We would love to see it. We're going to take our last break. When we get back, we're looking at no longer Chris Hiro, but Cassius Ohno. Back from the break, and it is time for Cassius Ohno. Yes, in 2011, both Chris Hero and Claudio would sign with WWE and go to Florida Championship Wrestling, and he would become one Cassius Ohno because they KO. Love to have the name, the initials KO.
Yeah, the knockout artist.
Yeah, the knockout artist, Cassius Ohno. And the match that we're looking at is from near the end of his first run in NXT, because he'd have a second one. And it's against one William Regal. Yes, War Games.
This is the match that I genuinely just picked for you.
And I appreciate it. It brought me back home. I got to watch it on the network. I was like, oh, here we go. This is good.
Like, I was going to pick a later match, like, you know, one against Riddle or Kenta. His match against Kenta was pretty good. Or any of these NXT UK stuff. But I was like, I know he had a match against William Regal. And I know Evan would love to watch
William Regal. I love William Regal. And also, this is the part of Cassius Ohno's run that I never saw. I didn't see his first run. I've been able to cover all of his second run, so this is new to me too.
I chose this thinking I'd be able to add a fifth one, but then you nixed that.
90 so. Minutes. 90. N-I-N-E-T-Y minutes. It's a lot.
You had fun.
Eventually, yeah. So Regal, I guess, was his mentor, but they started to feud after Regal saved some wrestlers from beatdowns because Ohno was turning heel and kind of being a dick about it all. Before the match starts, because we see the entrances, and then there's like inset promos, or like you can't just have the clip without them. There's a random Corey Graves promo before the match. Remember when Corey Graves wrestled? What a time!
Corey Graves was weird. I never really had an opinion on Corey Graves when he was in NXT because it was kind of just like he was meh.
Yeah.
Like, I knew him from the tag team with Neville. I thought their tag team was interesting. And, you know, it was a weird dynamic between the two. But then when he branched off into a singles guy and he was more of a heel, it was like, all right, so there's Corey Graves.
I think Corey Graves, people shit on him because I think we listen to wrestling so often that people get tired of hearing announcers. Corey Graves is an excellent commentary guy.
Yeah, we also forget, like, 5 years ago, everyone was, like, saying Corey Graves was the best commentator in all of wrestling.
Yeah,
was
with NXT. But we get tired of things, and so people were like, oh, he's not that good, he's annoying, he's Dude, the dude is good at commentary. Yeah. Like, stop crapping on him, let him just run with Tom. I think Tom Phillips is good. Tom Phillips has an inoffensive voice, and you need that for play-by-play.
Tom Phillips' voice is both boring, soothing, and engaging at the same time. And I don't understand how.
What a triple threat.
I said both. It's all three. And I don't understand how.
So, you know, Regal, not a full-time competitor. This is one of his last matches. We did some research before. And this is one of his final matches before he would just kind of settle into the best role he's ever had, NXT GM. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, best. I mean, he has done no wrong as NXT GM.
He brought us War Games.
War Games!
So, talking about commentary, Brad Maddox is on commentary for this match.
Is he with Tom Phillips?
It's Brad and Tom.
I was thinking, like, you said Tom Phillips, and I was like, wait, was that Tom Phillips on Tom?
Yeah, Phillips? Tom Phillips wasn't bad. Brad Maddox, I was like, I need you away.
He was fine.
I didn't like him.
I think you just don't like Brad Maddox.
I think I don't like his voice. I think I don't like the tone of his voice.
His voice perfectly. He is the okay. So he is like one of the only people in this world whose voice genuinely, like, if I were to imagine the person that matches this voice, it would be Brad Maddox.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Sami Zayn is another one that is exactly like how I expect this voice, and Seth Rogen, exactly how I imagine their voices.
Seth Rogen, our greatest Canadian export. I like this match. I'm going to talk a little bit about, like, Regal's in control early. Very methodical. Very Regal.
Great grappling.
This is his style, right? And he's even fighting dirty. At one point, he's distracting the ref while he's talking to him because Ono's down in the corner, and he's just, like, kind of, like, horse-kicking Ohno behind him.
Yeah.
I was like, that is classic Regal right there.
Just classic. Like, he really is just playing right into the dirty old man game.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you're playing basketball and there's, like, pick a basketball and there's, like, an older person there and they're just hitting you with all the, you know, their elbow. They're throwing elbows. They're doing all the little, like, old man tricks because they're just not as fast, you know?
I aspire to be the old man at the Y who, like, can't, like, you know, get to the basket the way he used to, but just has the vision just, like, dropping dimes.
I'm going to have such a great old man game because I can't get to the basket now.
Oh, you think I'm getting to the basket now?
I can't dribble to save my fucking life, but I can shoot from anywhere.
I'm all about that high basketball IQ. It's a shame that I can't do anything physically with it.
I could shoot. I could pass. Like, I know the game very well. That's all I got for you, coach.
I will set screens. I'll take charges.
I won't even do that.
So, baseball slide before the break for Ono to get the advantage, and then we get a little bit of a commercial break, because, you know, anytime that a match goes to the outside in WWE, odds are they're taking commercial.
Because at the end of the day, this is still NXT.
Also, the commercial we get, there's a Shield promo in the middle when they just had debuted, or like, yeah, they're freshly debuted, I think, on the main roster, right?
This was, didn't you say this was April of 2013?
April 2013.
I mean, freshly debuted, yeah, like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, because it was Survivor Series, right. But still, they're like the hot new thing on the main roster.
Yeah, at this point, they are the big thing in wrestling.
God, they're so cool. The Shield was so good.
So fun. I mean, they literally carried Monday Night Raw on their backs for a year.
And now the three of them are legitimately three of the biggest wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins was the guy in the company for about a year. While Roman was out, Roman is now the biggest heel in wrestling.
And Moxley is still, I was worried about him without the AEW title, but he's still one of the best and most featured players in AEW right now.
Yeah, you could legitimately say 2020 MVPs were Moxley and Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Like, that is a very big case that you can make.
So we get back to the actual match. Regal with some joint manipulation, because it is a British thing.
Dude, the fingers were getting worked, and at one point, I was kind of like on edge because it's like, all right, that actually looks like it hurts.
Yeah, and then there's a knee directly to the face by Regal. Like, he is fucking vicious in this match. And then we get the close-up of Ono snapping a finger back in place. No, thank you.
Yeah, and he was legitimately doing it.
Yeah, as somebody who has once had to put his shoulder back into place, no.
I've never had to, I lied, my wrist. My wrist actually has popped out of this place a couple times.
I separated my shoulder and cracked my collarbone on the same play when playing rugby in high school.
I have a very embarrassing story about popping my wrist back into place from my first year at UMass that I will not be telling because it is... All right, I'll tell the story. So
yes, and then I'll tell my rugby story. Yes.
It's... Okay, so I had a girlfriend first semester at UMass. Well, first into second semester at UMass, my sophomore year, my first year at UMass Amherst, sophomore year overall in college. And her roommate was gone for the weekend. So I spent the weekend in her dorm room. And it was like super late at night. And we had just finished fooling around. And like, she just like landed on top of my wrist in a weird way, like quite literally just afterwards, like when we were going in for the post coitus cuddle, and it dislocated my and I literally just had to tell her, like, I have to pop this back into place, and I know you're like really on edge when it comes to this stuff. Can you just like turn around and I'll try to keep it as muffled as possible? And I just did it because it wasn't the first time I've had to do it, so like it was whatever. The pain lasts like 2 seconds and then it's just fine. And yeah,
I should have gone first. I'm not gonna beat I just get in my wrist post sex. Not even like a sex injury of like, oh, I pulled a hammy from going to town.
It wasn't even during it. It was
I love the hesitancy in saying post-coitus too. Oh, man. Mine was simple. I was playing rugby and I tried to tackle a guy who was way too big and I tackled the guy.
All right. When you're 5'6", unless you're built like Brian Urlacher, you're not allowed to make tackles.
Everybody was way too big. But when I played rugby, I was the hooker. Yeah,
I don't know what that is. I don't know anything about rugby.
So you've seen a rugby scrum, right? Where everybody's in the middle.
I've seen rugby. Yeah. I just don't know anything about
it. So the guy in the very middle of the scrum, the one who does all the lineouts and everything, yeah, that's the hooker, and that was me. And I remember my coach coming up to me and saying, Gomes, we've got a position for you. And I said, okay. Because it was our first year having a rugby team in like 20 years. They're like, Gomes, you're going to be a hooker. And I said, coach, I'm going to university. I don't think I want to be a hooker. And he said, no, that's a position in rugby. And I said, okay. And so... It was the first game of a tournament, and I tackled the guy, and I literally got up, and I went to put both hands on the ground to like get up, and I felt this pain from my hand all the way up my arm and into my chest, and I was like, well, that's not good. And oof. I just started walking to the sideline. I was like, I am out. I need to get changed out. And coach was like, look, he said, coach, what are you doing? And then I got closer, and he saw my one arm was like down like a little bit further than it should be, and he was like, oh no. And so then he says, like, do you want me to put it back in place? Like, it'll hurt, but that's exactly what the – like, you can do it now or you can do it when you get to the hospital. And I was like, just do it now. And he's like, one – and I – the pain was immediate.
It's, like, fleeting, right? Like, once it's back in position, it's
yeah,
like
and then the only pain was the fact that I'd cracked my collarbone. So I just iced it. And I stayed in the prison all day. Yeah, so cracked my collarbone and separated my shoulder on the same play.
Yeah. Fucking tackling?
This is why I don't play. Like, I wouldn't play rugby anymore. Mom was like, "You can keep playing football where they put padding on you." But
did
rugby
you retire from sports altogether? Because I would have just retired at that point.
No, I still played another year of football.
Oh, you animal! You yeah. absolute animal.
Anyways, back to Regal being a dirty, dirty heel. part of this match I don't understand is at one point there's a boot to the face by Ohno, and yeah. Regal all of a sudden can't see.
It's the ear thing. He's got the equilibrium messed up. So he hit him. He caught him in the side of the head.
Okay, because like that man did not get hit in the eyes.
Yeah, and Regal does a fucking amazing job of selling it.
He does a really good. Like, I was confused.
Like, I was actually kind of worried at one point, even though I knew he was just selling. But it, like, that's when it. And I'm okay. So when I say these things, like, oh, I'm engaged. Like, I thought he was legit and all this stuff. Like. I am as big a wrestling fan as anyone. Like, I have been watching wrestling my whole life. I am a mark. I fucking know the ins and outs of wrestling and the fact that it's not actually super real. And some of the moves are real, and the pain is very real, and all this stuff, yada, yada. Yeah. I still get fooled by it, you know? Like, that's how you know you're really fucking good at it.
Yeah, when you can still fool people. So the big thing is Ono's trying to lock in the Cassius clutch, which I believe is the same move we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I think it's the Hangman clutch. Yeah,
and because he can't do it because his finger had been dislocated, so he doesn't have the strength in his hand. Yeah,
can't do a cravat.
Yeah. So by the end, this is just a brutal fight. Like, they're just brawling with one another, and there's a rolling elbow that gets countered. Regal hits a knee to the head, and that's how he wins,
dude. Which looked like death.
This was just a really, like, classic Brit-style, like, brawl.
And that was a stiff knee. There is no working that knee.
And again,
just Cassius Ohno felt that shit.
Showing the variety of styles. Because, like, you know, classic heel tag team. Then there's this British, like, brawl. Then there was, like, the main event technical scene against Bryan. And the, like, you know, here's every move we've ever learned against Punk. Like, Hero can work all of these different styles.
Yeah, and that really leads us into what comes
into the
next.
Promo. So this promo is called Inside the Mind of Cassius Ohno, and it's from his second run, because he would leave NXT in 2013, go back to the independents, and return in early 2017. He made his debut on the January 5th, 2017 NXT tapings. And so this is from his return, and it's literally just a little promo talking. It's Cassius Ohno explaining, like, his love of wrestling, where he gets everything from, his tape collecting, his tape trading. Yeah, it's a shoot. And it's essentially like a, it sounds like the preamble to a masterclass. And I would watch 2 hours of this.
Yeah.
Of Chris Hero talking about wrestling and wrestling history and how he got, I would watch the shit out of this.
Like, I'm not even kidding. There are, like, I know it's so funny in wrestling, just like, oh, you should get a podcast. Chris Hero needs a fucking podcast.
I think he has one. I'm 95% sure Chris Hero has a podcast now.
Okay, then I need to subscribe to this podcast, because there is no one. I'm just convinced watching this that there is nobody in wrestling who has a bigger, like, a greater mind for wrestling than Chris Hero. Like, this guy is genuinely an encyclopedia.
It's called Can Chris Hero Save Wrestling? And it's with Conrad Thompson.
Oh my God, give it to me now. I need that injected into my veins. Yeah, I'm going to definitely look at that after this.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, they talk to a bunch of the different trainers. So they talk to people like Norman Smiley and Les Thatcher and Sarah Del Rey, Rachel Evers, who was his girlfriend at the time. They talk to Johnny Gargano. Like, they talk to a bunch of people who know Chris pretty well. And like, this man is made to be a trainer. They're talking about, like, he just knows everything. He remembers everything.
And that was kind of like his thing with WWE, is that they wanted him back, but it was never going to be for like a main event or like a legit run. They kind of wanted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted him to slowly transition into the trainer role, which, I mean, hell, if Lacey Evans really did get that back, like, back handstand elbow drop thing from him, like, he did a good job of teaching a lot of these people. And, you know, if hopefully one day he's able to come back, because I know he was a part of the, was he a part of the COVID cuts?
I don't know if he was a part of the COVID cuts.
I don't know if he was before that.
No, he was right before.
Yeah. I know he was
he was part of the COVID cuts. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was a part of that. Unfortunately, he lost his gig cause of it, but man, if any company that would be able to bring in Cassius Ohno is not only gaining someone who can still very much go in the ring at a super high level and give you great matches against pretty much anyone, but like someone who behind the scenes has such a knowledge for the business, is such a historian, that they're not only able to pull out finishes from out of nowhere that happened at random points. Like, can you imagine him having a conversation with Tony Khan? Just about random bullshit.
Yeah. And Tony Khan's such a little wrestling fan nerd, too.
Yeah, like, those two guys were made for each other. Honestly, I really would love to see him in AEW, more for what he can give to them rather than what they can do with him.
Yeah.
But, man, just this really just showed.
This, like, is this a really good thing to go watch. Just 8 minutes to really dive into the mind of Chris Hero. And I think Wrestling Genius is such a good idea for a gimmick. Because
it's like a beautiful mind.
As a face, it's very easy because it's like, oh, I just love the business and I'm here to like try to get everything I can. And I love the idea of somebody being a smart baby face as a gimmick. Somebody who's like, doesn't get distracted by, you know, your opponent's music starting. Because he's like, every time that happens, this happens. Or like, there's another set of people who are having like a wedding and he shows up with popcorn. Because he's like, wrestling weddings are always terrible. I want to watch them. Like, this is going to be a shit show. Like, somebody who knows and it kind of like is like a self-aware wrestling fan, I think would be a fun gimmick. And Chris Hero could easily do that because he has all of the knowledge.
Yeah, and he was actually really good as a heel.
To be a heel, you just say like, yeah, I have all this knowledge and I'm better than you.
Dude, that's his thing. That was his thing with NXT UK was like, you're not real British strong style. You're not doing the right type of stuff. So that's what he would do when he was with NXT UK. He was that guy. He was like judging them because they didn't do the British style. The purist. Of old.
I think my favorite part of the whole 8 minute video is they're talking about how he's, you know, a pretty big guy and still really athletic and still doing all these things. And there's a shot of him diving into the ring through the middle and bottom rope and rolling and immediately doing a kip up, and you just see a face from No Way Jose being like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
how is this man hitting this move?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's 6'4", 260, 270. Like, he's a big dude.
I will say, Chris Hero's gear, Cassius Ohno's gear in NXT, when he would just do all the different types of NBA jerseys, but they said Cassius on them.
Yeah.
That is my jam. Are you kidding
me? I love the Duke one. He had a Duke one that looked really good.
There's one that's a Sacramento Kings one that I really liked.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember another one. But man, I was like, these are fresh. I like these.
Yeah, I mean, he did a Phoenix one when they were in Phoenix. I think that might have been the Velveteen Dream match. But yeah, he had one in Phoenix for that takeover. You know, pretty much Eddie, if he ever had a takeover match or like an NXT tape, you know how they did like NXT episodes that they would tape before the takeover.
Yeah.
So they would still use the crowd. Like, anytime he was on one of those, he would really have it themed for that.
Oh, and he had awesome. an USA Basketball like Dream Team one. That one was really good.
Yeah. I think I remember that one. That's good. That one. Yeah.
You know what? We never have guests on this show. Cassius Ohno would be the dream guest.
We just sit
here and talk to Cassius Ohno about, like, tell us everything. Tell us everything wrestling.
Yeah, like, he talked about Misawa. Like, hey, come on the Misawa episode. I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, man, that sounds ideal. We never had a guest, but Cassius Ohno, that'd be a good get right there.
Yeah, shit. If Cassius Ohno wants to get on here, you can just have the podcast. Like, you could just...
This is yours now.
The Misawa podcast?
This is yours now.
Just take it. Yeah. You could just have it.
We'll do the ad read at the beginning.
Yeah, we'll do the ad read. We'll just sit in.
Yeah.
We'll sit in on mute in case anything goes wrong.
And just sit here staring. Oh, man. That wraps up this week's episode. Javier, what did you think about the career of one Christopher Hero?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, honestly, I really enjoyed this. I really wish you would just let me put another match in here. I understand 90 minutes. But, like, he's awesome. Like, he was one of the first indie guys that I got into way back in the way back. It was him, Punk. Just that whole scene is so nostalgic to me. Just him, Punk, Brian, you know, Joe, Austin Aries, all those guys who really went out of their way to, you know, give an alternative to WWE at a time where there wasn't one. You know, and TNA still hadn't really rose up yet. It was really that early period. And yeah, I went back and retroactively watched all this stuff. But, you know, just in going back, Chris Hero was always one of my favorite guys because of the different types of things that he was doing at his size. And I think that's really the thing that's going to stick out with him. And what he's going to be remembered for long after he retires is just the fact that he was able to do so much.
Yeah. He had so much to give. And everyone has said that, like, he is just a beacon of knowledge and somebody who you can learn everything from just by following along with Chris Hero and his career. Because the man just, he just absorbs all there is to know about wrestling.
Yeah.
Dream guest.
He really is the dream guest.
Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMello Sports. Catch me on there replying sassy replies to Evan. And retweeting a whole bunch of random shit.
Correct. Lots of sassy replies. I am on Twitter at It's7Gomes, ItsEvanGomes. Also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Yes, next week we're going back to Japan. Another Javier-inspired episode.
Yeah, I was inspired at like 3 in the morning. It was super freaking late when I told you about this.
I woke up to it, yeah.
Yeah, it was manic Javier. I have these random moments every like other couple of months where I just have these manic moments where I'm either inspired to write an article or I like tell Evan we should do this episode for a podcast. It's just, it's super random. I don't even have a control over it. I was inspired to do an episode of the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Manami Toyota.
Again, my knowledge of Japanese wrestling in its entirety is pretty lacking. I have heard the name.
Especially the Joshis, I assume.
Especially the Joshis. I have heard the name before, but I am excited to dive into the matches and with a complete fresh face and just, you know, clear eyes, full heart.
Give yourself some time.
Yes, these are also some long matches. So
Let's just say it's a good thing that your fiance is going away on placement.
Yes. I'm going to have the house to myself for a couple of weeks, so I'm just going to be watching the Manami Toyota matches. And just diving into that. So I'm excited. That'll be next week. But we thank you for joining us this week. You know, if you made it all the way this far, you gotta leave a 5-star review. You gotta. I mean, it's been a long time. Just leave the review. Javier, any last words for the people?
Black lives matter. Asian lives matter. Keep fighting the good fight, everybody.
We'll see you next week.